The majority of public schools have become indoctrination institutions advancing leftist agendas. However, a ruling by the Supreme Court this week was a win for religious schools. We will discuss the importance of the education of our children in the end time on this edition of End of the Age. Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dave Robbins with End Time Ministries. Thank you for joining me again on another edition of End of the Age. You know, Vladimir Lenin, he once said, "Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world." Well, that kind of goes along with what the Bible says. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The problem is that can be good or that can be bad. You train them up in biblical foundational principles, they're going to turn out all right. But on the other hand, if you don't do that, they may not turn out so good. So what happened this week? Let's talk about the education of our children because it is so critical in the times that we're living in. This week was a win for religious schools. Following the closing arguments in a U.S. Supreme Court hearing on January 22nd of this year, Kendra Espinoza said, "Hey, I feel like we're being excluded simply because we are people of religious background or because our children want to go to religious schools." They were being excluded from federal funding. Well, Kendra Espinoza is a single mother who sends her two daughters to the Stillwater Christian School in Kalispell, Montana. She was the lead plaintiff in the Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue case. At that time, the lawsuit was seen as really likely to produce a landmark ruling amid politically charged and the fiercely debated quality of education issues, which could dramatically impact the separation of church and state up in Montana. So the entire lawsuit centered on the hot button topic of using taxpayer funds to provide scholarships or vouchers to help parents pay for alternative schooling choices for their children, which has been acclaimed by President Trump as the new civil rights issue of our time, which is very smart on his part. And a lot of you that have children in public schools, and you say, "Wow, man, I'd love to get my children out of a public indoctrination institution and get them into some kind of a private school or a religious school," you should listen to what President Trump has said about school choice and things like that, and work with your senator and people, different people in the education department to try to get these things passed to where we can have them here in the state of Texas and all over the United States. So with Montana, they have a scholarship program which provides a modest tax credit to individuals and businesses who donate to private institutions. The Montana Department of Revenue ruled that the recipients of these scholarships cannot use them at religious schools. So they said, "Hey, you can send your kid to a private school and we will have that. We've got benefits and different things, tax benefits for people who would donate them for you to do that, but not a religious school." So they were discriminating in a way, if you look at it. And the plaintiffs, which was Kendra Espinoza and other low-income mothers, they have been relying on these funds. They were depending on these scholarship funds to keep their children in these private schools and to provide them with a quality education. They didn't feel like they were getting one in the public education system. So they had a lawsuit back in January 22, and it's been going on and on and on and on until this week. Now, U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos, she also attended back in January, and she sat in the front row for the Espinoza versus Montana Supreme Court hearing. This would have been this week. According to a New York Times report, Mrs. DeVos had told a meeting of Christian philanthropists back in 2001 that education reform was a way to advance God's kingdom. And it had also been reported that secularists in the U.S. school system faced a fierce battle with Mrs. DeVos, who is in charge of the Department of Education right now in the Trump administration. So in an historic tie-breaking vote back in 2017, Vice President Pence had helped break the deadlock to confirm Betsy DeVos as the Secretary of Education. And she is very, very, very pro-school choice, pro-vouchers and different things to be able to send kids to private schools. If it were me and my kids were still in school, I would definitely be contacting my senators, anybody I could, to get the ball rolling in that direction, because we have a Secretary of Education and a President of the United States that is very much on board with these. Could that window be closing in February? I don't know. But I certainly would be on the phone and be writing letters to get my kids in some better education.
Major internet companies are silencing and censoring Christian voices online. These companies are trying to control what you see and hear. Almost 200 videos of ours have been marked as restricted online right now. That's why we launched End of the Age Plus, a platform where the truth won't be censored, a platform where we can preach the message of the gospel. When you subscribe to End of the Age Plus today for just $12.99 a month, you can watch all of our content in a secure, easy-to-view way from your favorite device. When you go to watch.endtime.com and subscribe, you'll get instant access to all of our teaching resources, including Revelation, the Unveiling of Jesus Christ, Understanding the End Time, End Time Magazine, and so much more. We will not censor our message to comply with what the world deems as politically correct. Go to watch.endtime.com right now or search End of the Age Plus in the App Store or Google Play.
We've seen Bible prophecy fulfilled like never before. From the halls of the United Nations to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, End Time Ministries continues to reveal the Bible prophecy in the news headlines around the world every day. Whether it's through our broadcast or online at our Jerusalem Prophecy College, your gifts enable us to put vital materials in the hands of those who need it most. Because of you, we continue to replace fear with faith. In the hearts of Christians around the world, we will continue to see prophecy come to pass at an even swifter pace. We need your support. Your donation of any amount enables us to continue to broadcast and be a voice in the ever-growing censored media. To become a partner or give a one-time gift, visit endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME right now. That's 800-363-8463. Go online now. Visit endtime.com.
So our current Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, believes in school choice and private and charter schools so much that she has personally invested in these private and charter schools and has been an outspoken advocate of both. Back in 2017, Betsy DeVos had touted that President Trump's school choice program as a once-in-a-generation opportunity, because you've seen that previous administrations have been against this. We don't know what the future is going to be like. And so she was saying, hey, this is once-in-a-generation opportunity that we could get on board with this, get our government, a president who is pro-school choice, to get something done. Now you can kind of understand maybe how important it is that maybe here in November that we would get a Senate and a House that would support President Trump. He could get a lot of these things done if he just had the cooperation. Now, So she sees this as a once in a generation opportunity. And she said the most ambitious expansions of educational choice in our nation's history. President Trump is an advocate. She would work right along with him to get a lot of things done if they didn't have so much resistance. Why is there so much resistance? Because there is an agenda being pushed in the United States of America to really to destroy what we have and to rebuild it in the eyes of these globalist socialists, people who want to institute, implement socialism here in the United States. And so what have they done? They realize that people my age, I'm 51 years old, I graduated high school, 1986? They realize I'm too far gone. They're not even coming after me. What they're doing is they're getting the young minds who will spend a big portion of their young life in school, and they're saying, hey, we need to indoctrinate these young minds coming out, and once they come out of high school, once they come out of college, then there won't be a parallel society, but everybody will be in line with what we want to do. And in a lot of ways, they're being successful. But there have been a lot of parents. I think there are, close to 2 million people that homeschool their children now. And they decided, hey, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to send them to these public indoctrination institutions. We're going to take care of it ourselves. And that's a good thing. And I'm not saying that don't say Dave Robbins said every teacher is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I have friends who are teachers. They're Christians. I've talked to them recently, and they told me that even though the school system would like them to teach a certain thing, that because they're Christians, they may talk about evolution, but then they will say, hey, here's what is is taught evolution, but the Bible teaches creationism. Now, they may lose their job if they did that. I don't know. But it's very important. I mean, if my kids were still in school right now, I would be sitting them down and saying, look, what's the school teaching you about the LGBT agenda in America? What's the school teaching you about socialism, about our history? You see the big thing right now with everybody going around these organizations tearing down our statues and things like that. Why would they go? What's the point in that? Those statues aren't hurting anything. But what they're doing is that these are organized organizations trying to take away the identity of America. Many of these statues help to show us what our identity is and where we came from and things like that. And they're not hurting anybody, but there are people that are going around saying, no, even this Abraham Lincoln's got to come down and everybody else. And that's what they're trying to do. These are organized efforts to do that. There's people that are pushing agendas in America. I promise you, most of the people doing the tearing down of the statues don't even know why they're tearing the statues down. But they're just part of a group that's going in there to tear it down. Well, there are people behind it that know what they're doing. They're pushing an agenda. So what happened? Well, there's good news that happened this week. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of religious schools and said that the aid bans are unconstitutional. So because of Ms. Espinoza and other ladies in Montana, this week, this started back in January, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 decision this Tuesday morning that Montana's ban on the religious schools receiving state aid and the specific scholarship funds, that it is illegal and that it's unconstitutional for states to exclude religious schools from these programs. Now, that is wonderful news. And I'm thanking God because I believe he moved on behalf of these women and got this thing passed. Because there's a huge move right now kind of against religious institutions. And so for this to be won in court like this, the Supreme Court, It really is going to help the people of Montana. You say, well, what does that do for me? Again, if my kids were still in school and I was in Texas or Indiana or wherever, I would be contacting my senators and saying, hey, this just happened in Montana. We want it here. And we want school choice. We want funding for these charter programs. It's very important because there are agendas being passed and our kids are being raised in this. I've got a 16-month-old granddaughter. I don't want her being raised in this. I don't want her being indoctrinated by our public education system. And so I know her parents are probably planning on homeschooling her. We've had that discussion because they're very interested in. Remember, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that it should go and it won't depart from it. If that child is trained up to believe in socialism and that abortion's okay and that the LGBT thing is okay and a whole, all that, those agenda-driven things. And then the parent, when they get home, the parent doesn't ever talk to them about what they're being taught in school. They just bring them home, setting them in front of the TV set until it's time to go to bed. And then they go to bed and get up in the morning and go to school. And then when they're 18, the parent wonders, what happened? How did you get to the point where you would advocate socialism here in the United States of America, which is a capitalist entity, and it's because they've been indoctrinated for the last 12 years. And the parent didn't take time to spend time with them. Now, I know I'm painting a broad brush. I know there are parents today that do spend time with their children. I've got friends that spend a lot of time with their children, making sure what they're taught, homeschooling, and this, that, and the other. Homeschooling is a great thing because you control what your kids are taught. And so that's very important. But because there are agendas, many agendas being pushed, and they know they've got to get a hold of your child's mind when it is young. When a child is young, their mind is like a sponge. They're just sucking up everything. And that's their moldable years. When they get to be 50, it's too late. That's why in a lot of these marches that you're seeing in the news right now, most of those people are what, 18 to probably 30? I haven't seen one march. I'm not saying there hasn't been, but I haven't seen one march where there's a 65-year-old out there. And so because those people, they're like, no, this is America. This is the greatest nation on the planet. I'm not going to try to do anything to harm it. And so I've talked to some of these kids who have got out of high school and college, and they've tried to convert me over to a socialistic mindset. That's not going to work because I know that's not successful. So agendas being driven in school. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, this Montana program, it offered $150 in tax credits for donations to scholarships for private school attendees. And after a decision was made by state tax officials that religious institutions didn't qualify, that's when the case was heard by the Montana Supreme Court. And so the court cited a state amendment banning aid to sectarian schools and decided to dismantle the entire program, hence the case. So the case was appealed to the Supreme Court by these parents suing for aid to assist in paying for their children's religious private school education. And the case, Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue, it saw conservative justices, the majority, and in the majority, and Chief Justice Roberts, they penned the opinion. And the ruling is going to make it easier for religious schools to obtain aid, opening the door for more school choice policies, potentially including the funding of vouchers. Now, if we could get that passed right there, that would be awesome because there would be so much, there would be opportunities opened up for parents to send their kids to a parochial school, a private school, to help them maybe with homeschooling or something like that, to get them into a religious private school and control what they're taught. Because I'm telling you, in a lot of these public schools, again, not everyone, There are public schools out there where I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, well, hey, the principal of my kid's school that we talked to, he's a Baptist minister and he's not going to allow these things in his school, this, that, and the other. I got that. But I'm saying the majority. Most of these things, there's agendas being pushed in these schools. Your children, everybody, and your grandchildren. I'm going to make sure that I talk to my kids and, hey, how's my grandchild? We've already had that conversation. Because I want to make sure that she's raised up. And if, you know, had my son-in-law, he's a great guy. I know his thought process. I know what he believes. And so I don't really have to worry about that with him and my daughter either. But we've still had this conversation. Now, the question is, could school choice save America? Is it that bad that we need a school choice and vouchers and this, that, and the other? Why not just let our kids continue to go on like it is and maybe we'll do a U-turn at some point? Doesn't work like that. You've got, the Bible says, train up that child in the way that it should go and it won't depart from it. If you allow a child to have these agenda-driven thought processes implanted in them for 12, 13, 14 years, and then think, well, hey, I'll start when they get out of college and then I'll try to mold and make them. It's too late at that point. So you've got to get them when they're young and say, look, what are you being taught in school? What are they teaching you about abortion? What are they teaching you about the LGBT community and all this other stuff? These things, you got to form that child's mind when they're young. Now, could school choice save America? Well, during his campaign, President Trump envisioned a plan called Choice. And it called for every student to be given an education voucher, which could be used at the public, private, or parochial school of their choice. And you see, with no choice, a parent, you move into a certain neighborhood and you think, well, he's got to go to this school. There's no choice. A parent kind of feels trapped. What am I going to do with my child? I can't find a private school. They got to go to this public school. What do we do here? But if you had choice, you had choices, then the public school wouldn't just teach whatever they wanted to. Because, hey, if you don't teach what I want you to teach my kid, I'll pull them out and put them over here. So since the amount of the voucher would equal what is already being spent by the government per child, this program would not require additional funding beyond that what is now being spent. And the plan would do three things. It would create free market style competition among schools. And this would make inferior schools improve or face being put out of business. And another thing, the poor as well as the rich, because a lot of times somebody who is economically challenged would say, there's no chance for my kids. They got to go here. And that's what they're going to get. But under this voucher system, the poor as well as rich kids would enjoy the same privileges of attending private schools if they so desired. So if it were me and my kids were still in school, I'd be calling and talking to everybody I could, and I would not stop until I got school choice vouchers and everything else. I mean, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Well, I'd be the squeakiest wheel that would squeak so bad it wouldn't move. And they'd say, look, just give this guy what he wants until he leaves us alone. That's the way I would be. Because there's nothing more important than your children, right? And America. These kids, the next generation coming up, those are the minds that are being formed on what kind of America we want. Also, this voucher system, the choice would be, it would allow all Americans the freedom to choose a religious education for their children rather than a secular one, evolution and whatever else, socialism. And, you know, get them a religious education. I mean, presently, think about it like this. You say, oh, religious education, those are subpar. No. Presently, those who attend religious schools are, they're severely penalized financially and they are taxed to support public schools. And then they must pay tuition for their private schooling. And so that's a problem that we had. We had a private school at the church where Irvin pastored for 30-some years. We had this private school for like 20-some years. And a lot of the parents said, well, hey, a lot of my taxes are going to fund a public school system. And then I've got to pay more to send my kid to a private school. So they were being penalized. But if you could take the money that was going to the public system and give them to go to a private school, everybody's equal. I mean, and so that there's the system presently discriminates, especially against the poor. So proponents of school choice believe it's time parents were free to choose the school that their children attend. And this approach would create the competition climate that presently stimulates excellence in our private and parochial schools today. Now, so you say, well, what about pros and cons? Okay, so opponents of choice, they say they fear the quality here of education will degenerate without government control. Here it is, though. However, students attending private schools have consistently outscored their public school counterparts. So you say, well, no, it's got to be government regulated. Do you want them to have a better education? Or do you want it to be agenda driven? Or do you want them to get a solid education every day? And this obviously would not be a problem, but an answer. And also there are some that fear that freedom to choose would result in the closing of many public schools. And it is true that some of the non-performing schools may close due to no enrollment. I mean, we've learned from communism that what happens when ill-managed, incompetent businesses are not allowed to fail. And yet this is exactly the way the American education has been ran for years now. If it performs badly, just give it more money, right? Money doesn't solve the problem. What we want is good education, good, truthful, fact-based education for our children, not agenda-driven. But many parents feel trapped. Well, if you feel trapped, look at the case that was just won in Montana this week. Contact your senators. Contact everybody and say, hey, anybody you can get your hands on. And say, look, I want what happened in Montana to happen here in Texas or Florida or New York, wherever. It's very important.
Move Mountains with Irvin Baxter. This book by Irvin's grandson provides 30 days of devotion that will enhance your relationship with God and others. Authentic illustrations from early morning devotions at End Time will help you find your purpose and eliminate fears. Commit to taking this 30-day journey and experience real life change. Get your book for only $14.99. Call 1-800-363-8463 or go to endtime.com/move.
I have left a piece of my heart in Israel and her people. We would like to thank End Time for doing such an awesome job with our Israel tour. We marvel at your team keeping the time schedule, keeping everyone comfortable, the wonderful driver, the brilliant guide, the entire tour program, good hotel choices, and stellar food. We had the privilege to rub shoulders with Pastor Baxter, listened to his current teachings, and had some interesting questions answered so eloquently. He is wonderful. Helene from Australia.
Experience the Holy Land in the most amazing way. Join Irvin and Judy Baxter for our upcoming Israel tour. For more information, go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463.
If your station only carries the first 30 minutes of End of the Age, go to endtime.com and click the watch button to continue today's broadcast. You can also finish up later by clicking the archive button.
So if you think about this, the next question that comes up is, well, what about the separation of church and state? I mean, the government's not going to want to fund children going to a religious institution. And, you know, how does all that play in? Well, President Trump, you understand, is for that. And so that's very important. I mean, the election's coming up here in November. You know, you might have a small window if he gets elected for another 4 years. If it were me, I would be getting a hold of somebody and saying, hey, help us. This happened in Montana. I want it to happen in my state. Now, opponents of choice, they argue that allowing education vouchers for attendance at religious schools constitutes subsidizing religion. But this would only be true if larger vouchers were given to religious schools than non-religious. If this were done, then the government would be paying for the religious training as well as the basic education. So if religious and non-religious schools receive the same amount per student, then the religious portion of the parochial school instruction must be funded by the parents or the church. So the Constitution does not instruct government to be against religion. It provides for the freedom of religion. Shouldn't this include freedom to choose a religious education? Who says that we're chained to this government-run public education system? I mean, this would not cost the taxpayer additional funds, and it would not impose religious instruction on those who don't want it. I mean, it only provides freedom of choice to those who believe that education without instruction of spiritual values is no education at all. And, you know, choice is vital to America's future. I mean, many Americans have regarded the course of our nation with great concern. Homes are degenerating. The drug problem seems almost insurmountable. I mean, AIDS, alcoholism, suicide, crime, all seems to be unsolvable. Does any answer of these perplexing problems even exist? Well, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our founding fathers felt compelled to place In God We Trust on our money. The U.S. Congress, at President Eisenhower's urging, added under God to our Pledge of Allegiance. So, were they just babbling religious idiots? Or did they understand that our system of government would not work without God? Now, our form of government is government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So in other words, it's basically self-government, right? Or supposed to be. Well, when the character of people becomes eroded by immorality and addictions, self-control, everything collapses. It's destroyed at that point. And when people are ruled by their passions, government is forced to restrain them by law. I mean, look at what's going on right now in America. So as more and more laws are passed, more and more freedoms are eroded. And we in America are experiencing this exact scenario right now. Turn on your nightly news. And some of this responsibility has to be placed at the feet of the public education. I mean, it's no coincidence that the moral decline in America parallels exactly with the banishment of prayer and God from our schools by the Supreme Court. Imagine going to school for 12 years and never being told who created the earth, where'd we come from, why are we here, and where are we going? All of those answers are scriptural answers. Who created us? Why were you created? And where are we going? Why were we created? What are we created for? Where are we headed? Can you answer those questions? If you can answer those questions, they're scriptural answers. They come from the Bible. Imagine going 12 years of your life and you were never taught that. So, since it has been mandated that religious teachings be banned from public schools, the character necessary to preserve our nation cannot possibly be provided by these public institutions. If choice were enacted, it would enable religious schools to offer the quality of educations that they have demonstrated that they can provide. At the same time, the values that have made America great are so vital to our future, they would be reinforced. I mean, the passage of choice concept may be the one thing that could reverse the downward spiral that we find ourselves in here in America. So what can we do? Well, if you see the value of an education that can restore Judeo-Christian values in America, some of the things we can do would be, number one, pray. That's of utmost importance. Number two, call and write your senators and congressmen urging support for choice, including, just like in Montana, religious schools. Promote choice to your friends, fellow workers, relatives. Make sure they understand. Local leaders and your fellow church members, make sure they all get on board. They all have children, most of them. Make sure they all get on board and say, hey, if we're going to have, we're going to put our kids through 12 or 14 or 18 years of education, let's make sure they're getting taught what's right and not agendas driven by a leftist somewhere in some office somewhere. So the choice is very clear. Either secular humanism or Judeo-Christian values. That's what's going to capture the minds of this nation. One leads to ever-increasing government and the resulting loss of freedom, while the other leads to spiritual and moral renewal and the preserving of America, which most of us love and cherish so much. Now, why is this so important? Well, I'm sure that all of you can feel this. It's like a beach ball. You kind of can get your fingertips on it, but you can't really grab a hold of it. So our schools, if you don't know this already, they've become indoctrination institutions to push leftist agendas. Now, again, not every single school in America is like this. The big majority of them are. So the term government schools, that's been used not only by President Trump, but also by the U.S. Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, and groups that fervently advocate for alternatives to traditional public schools, government schools. It is like an uncomplimentary term which carries the connotation of distrust of the government and the desire to reduce its reach, as families must involve their children in curriculum which is contrary to the dictates of their conscience. But many parents don't think they have a choice. Well, secular liberalism and progressivism are being administered through the public school system. I mean, let me see. So, since marriage was redefined by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2015 under the Obama administration, children in public schools have been instructed that homosexuality is the moral equivalent of heterosexuality. And they're also being taught that they can select their own gender identity. I mean, young children in Vermont are offered transgender hormone treatments in preparation for transgender surgeries. If the parents disagree, their wishes can be overruled by a court order. Children are prompted by climate justice warriors to block traffic, lie in the street, and skip school because the world will end in 11 years if climate change is not addressed. Millions of American families have moved their children out of the government school system, often at great expense, to escape the increasingly radical nature of public education and improve their opportunities for success. And believe me, if you can do it, it is well worth it. So let's talk about some of the public indoctrination. What's going on in our schools? And I tell you, again, if my kids were still in school, I would make sure. Now, I knew what they were taught because they went to the private school that was run by our church, and both times when we were in Indiana, when we moved to Texas, my kids were involved. I knew what they were getting taught. But if they were in school today and I had them in a public school, I'd be sitting them down periodically and saying, okay, what are you being taught about this? What about this issue? What about that? I want to know what you're being taught. And if I could, I'd pull them out of that. You say, well, they couldn't go to state on the track team or blah, blah, blah. Listen, that's not the most important thing. Sports is fun. I played a lot of sports when I was younger. But my education and my thought process, ideologies coming out of school, so much more important. I come out of playing a lot of sports and went into construction. So did the agility and all that stuff help me? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it was my education that kept me going through all of that. It wasn't because I starred on the ball team, okay? So let's talk about some indoctrination. Well, in 2019, Governor J.B. Pritzker, he signed legislation making Illinois the fourth state requiring public schools to teach LGBT history. So the law, which goes into effect this month, requires textbooks purchased with state grant funds to include the roles of contributions of all people protected under the Illinois Human Rights Act. Well, that includes the LGBT community. And it states that the teaching of history in the United States shall include a study of the roles and contributions of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the history of this country. One of the best ways, and I'm quoting here, they say one of the best ways to overcome intolerance is through education and exposure to different people and viewpoints. So that was said by a bill sponsor, State Senator Heather Steins. She was a Democrat from Chicago, and that was in the Washington Examiner. Education. California became the first state to pass that law requiring schools to teach LGBT history. And that was back in, 2011? That was followed by Colorado and then New Jersey in 2019. Now Illinois. And there are other states that are looking at it. So civil rights and advocacy groups have praised these states for expanding their definitions of American history in the classroom. Now, Christian Fuscarino, she's the executive director of the advocacy group Garden State Equality. She said, and here's the goal. Our youth deserve to see how diverse American history truly is and how they can be a part of it one day too. So it's not just so much we want to teach your kids. We want to teach their kids so they can have the opportunity to participate in some of these actions as well. What's the Bible say? Train up a child in the way they should go. Then the Bible tells you how they should live to be a successful, productive member of society and make it into eternity. So you need to teach them that at a young age coming up. Make sure they're not being indoctrinated by these public indoctrination institutions. And so I know we're coming up to a break. When we get back from the break, I'll get off into maybe some of the things the Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is pushing on his campaign website, indoctrination in our schools. So, President Trump is for choice in schools. Joe Biden, little bit different opinion. We'll talk about it when we get back.
Does the Book of Revelation frighten you? Do its symbols confuse you? For centuries, the Book of Revelation has been misunderstood and misinterpreted. In Revelation, the Unveiling of Jesus Christ, Volume 1, Irvin Baxter unlocks the mystery of the Book of Revelation with in-depth analysis and commentary like you've never heard before. This 10-part definitive DVD series and 268-page comprehensive commentary book covers the first 12 chapters of the Book of Revelation, featuring on-location photography, classic artwork, and symbolic illustrations. You'll walk away with complete understanding and peace about the events happening during the final years on Earth. These comprehensive study tools, available for $299, will deepen your biblical understanding as you dig into the original intent of the book, answering the mysterious prophecies and symbols of the Book of Revelation. Don't miss this special offer. Call now, 1-800-END-TIME, or go to endtime.com to order. Call or go online now to get this comprehensive Bible study.
So when we look at some of this indoctrination in our schools, again, I want to mention President Trump is pro-choice or pro-voucher, giving you money and allowing you to go and choose what school you would send your child to. Joe Biden, of course, it's President Trump and Joe Biden coming up in the election here in November. If you go to his campaign website, Joe Biden's vision on his presidential campaign website, it says this: to ensure young LGBTQ plus people are supported and protected in our schools, moving on, and campuses by guaranteeing transgender students have access to facilities based on their gender identity, okay? And he states, this is on his campaign website, everybody. He's not even trying to hide it. He says, on my first day in office, Joe Biden will reinstate the Obama-Biden guidance revoked by the Trump-Pence administration, which will restore transgender students' access to boys who believe they're girls participating in girls' sports, boys who believe they're girls going to girls' restrooms, boys who believe they're girls going and changing in girls' locker rooms in accordance with their gender identity. This is what Joe Biden is saying he's going to do. Day one, he's going to reverse what President Trump and Mike Pence did, which was reverse the Obama administration's doctrine and put all this back into play. He's saying he's going to do this day one. And I'm talking about in school, everybody, not in some club down here in the middle of Dallas. I mean in our public schools. He will direct his Department of Education to vigorously enforce and investigate violations of transgender students' civil rights in our public schools, folks. Now, you think if he were to get in office, he would leave Betsy DeVos in there? No way. He's going to appoint somebody who wants to enforce his administration and what they want to do in public schools. You got to think about that here in just what? 3 or 4 months. And what you're going to do. Go read. I tell you what. You want an education? Go read President Joe Biden's campaign website. And I'll leave it at that. So now I wanted to tell you about something that happened to me when I went to Indiana University East. I went back to school when I was, what, in my 30s. And because I knew I needed a little bit more education. I needed to brush up on some things when I was getting ready to come to End Time and just after I'd come to End Time. And I knew that if I was going to get to another level, I had to have some more education. So I thought, well, I'll go back to Indiana University East. It's a great community college there. And, you can get a pretty good education, I thought. Well, I took two classes and I knew I was going to be doing some writing, or at least I thought I was. I was doing some marketing, this, that, and the other. So I took a creative writing class and I took a speech class. In the creative writing class, you know, I would have thought, hey, you can write on whatever you want. They're going to teach you how to write and this, that, and the other. No, it's not what it was about. Over 50% of my writing assignments were promoting the LGBTQ agenda. They were on, I had to write on two mommies, two daddies, the alternative family. I mean, I had to write on all kinds of stuff. Well, I wrote in opposition to all that. And I'm surprised I got an A in the class because the teacher was pro-LGBTQ. The professor actually told the class that it was scientifically proven that there was a gay gene, that somebody who, a homosexual male, puts off a gene, has a gene that only a homosexual male and a female puts off, not a heterosexual male. And I raised my hand and I said, that's not scientifically proven. Now, when he said it, of course, I was in class with some 18 to 20 year olds, most of them. I was in my 30s at that point. I raised my hand. I said, that's not true. And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely. So when I turned in my final paper, I raised my hand so many times in that class, he got tired of calling on me. He would look at me and say, Mr. Robbins. That's how he answered me. Or that's how he called on me, Mr. Robbins. And so because I was questioning everything he said, he gave a scenario. I'll tell you how it's done. The indoctrination in public schools. He said, he gave a scenario. Now there's, again, there's 18, 20 year olds sitting around me. I'm a 35 year old man sitting there. He said, picture this, or consider this, everybody. There is a lesbian couple who has, or they're both lawyers. And there is a couple, a heterosexual couple, who lives on the other end of town that has a child. The heterosexual couple lives way on the other end of the tracks, and they are poor. And they'll never be able to give the child an extended education, and they're never going to be able to go on vacations. They're never going to be able to give it a nice car. He won't be able to do a lot of things that a person of means would be able to give the child. However, the two lesbians on the other end of town that are lawyers, they want to adopt a child. So the professor's question to us as a class was, who would the child be better off being with? The lesbian couple who could promise the child a college education, who could take it to Hawaii maybe, or take it on these vast vacations, awesome vacations, and do things like that. Which one would the child better off being reared by? Well, all these kids around me said, well, the lesbian couple, of course. They can. This kid's going to have a nice car. It's going to be able to do all kinds of things. I said, the heterosexual couple. Well, everybody looked at me shocked. Because that's God's method of raising a child. A male and a female, they have a child, and they raise it to the best of their abilities, according to Scripture. And so you can see how the indoctrination is taking place in public schools. This was just one professor I had when I went back to college. Of course, for years, you've known they've taught evolution as well. Now, most public schools are teaching evolution, not creationism, according to the Bible. And these are a dwindling number of teachers who teach. There are a dwindling number of teachers who teach both. But again, the problem is those numbers are dwindling. They will give both scenarios. But Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So there's no question. You don't have to teach evolution. Teach creationism. But in a public school, many of them teach, they're obligated to teach evolution. Now, climate change, it's another one. Human-induced global warming, which leads to climate change, is easily proven to be a hoax. But if you have an agenda to push, the truth is irrelevant at that point, right? I mean, global warming is only one of the messages being used to force the nations of the world into a world government. Anytime you hear global governance propaganda by the United Nations, like Agenda 2030, sustainable development goals, nationalized health care, social justice, national identification programs. Think world government. But it is the global warming, or should I say, now what are we calling it? Climate change, that is presently being the poster child used to frighten everyone into giving up freedom in order to save the planet. According to The Guardian, back in 2016, schools in Portland, Oregon have voted to, they voted to abandon textbooks that express doubt about the severity of the climate crisis or its root in human activities. And then the New York Post, they said that the New York Department of Education, they excused kids who ditch school to partake in that Manhattan climate change protest. Remember they had that here a while back? I can't remember if it's about maybe 6-8 months, a year ago, something like that. They had that huge climate change protest. They allowed like 1 million kids to get out of school to go protest in that. And then, of course, the Mayor de Blasio of New York, he tweeted that, hey, 10 years, we have 10 years to save the planet. So he let all these kids out of school to go protest that. I mean, today's leaders, he said, are making decisions for our environment that our kids will have to live with. And New York stands with our young people. They're our conscience. We support 920, the climate strike. So they're indoctrinating these kids that climate change is an absolute truth when it's total propaganda by the United Nations. And then socialism. I mean, according to the Business Insider, 70% of millennials say that they'd vote for a socialist. That's ages 22 to 38. Now, I know you can say that it's true. You can make polls say whatever you want them to. But I know that a lot of millennials are questioning socialism versus capitalism. But if we're going to save millennials from socialism, conservatives can't just stay sitting on the sidelines hoping that their children and millions of others suddenly realize socialism is a flawed idea. You've got to sit. They're not going to get it in school. They're going to get that it is a good idea in school. You've got to sit them down and talk to them and say, listen, socialism is a bad idea for this reason. If you don't know, educate yourself. Have them contact me. I mean, drobbins@endtime.com. I've got documentation. I've got articles. I've got whatever we need to make sure they know socialism is a very, very bad thing. It would rip the foundations out from under this nation and destroy it. And so we don't want that here. There are people that do want it. There are people that are involved in the education system that want it. But for those that understand this country is capitalistic, and that's what we want. Not abusive, but we want it to become successful along with Judeo-Christian principles. There's nothing wrong with making a profit. Some people would like to make that out to be just like a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a business owner making a profit so he can keep his business going. He's taking the risk. He should get the rewards. Socialism is opposed to that. So I could preach on that the rest of the day, everybody. The fact is that we need to get back to our Judeo-Christian roots in this country. And this week, there was a huge win for religious schools in Montana. Again, in closing out today's program, if it were me and my kids were still in school, and I'm asking you, get involved in your kids' education. Don't let the school indoctrinate them till they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and then you wonder how your child got to be the way it is. Train them up in the way that they should go, and they won't depart from it.
This has been End of the Age, brought to you by the faithful partners of End Time Ministries. If you're not currently a partner with End Time Ministries, or if you would like more information, we invite you to call us at 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or visit us online at endtime.com.